Well, God's still alive. Yeah, he's very much alive. Jesus is still Lord. Praise God. This world. You know, in Psalms chapter 2, it says, "Why does the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" You know, we see a lot of that today, raging and vain things. But he's still Lord. He said, I will laugh. Yeah, praise God. I'm just going to laugh with God. I think I'll just be on his side, yeah. Laugh with him. Praise God. We've been talking about the Word, believing the Word, having faith in the Word, not just words, not just reading the Bible like it's a bunch of words, but actually reading it as the Word. The statements of Jesus are the Word of God spoken to us. And when we receive His Word like that, then it changes everything. We're going to talk a little bit more about that this morning. And just know that God's Word is just powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. His Word creates. And it didn't just create, it is creating. How many know that God is still creating? Amen. He's still creating in us. He's still creating in this world. God is continually creating. His name is above every name in heaven and earth, under the earth. Praise God. We in Ephesians chapter 2, the little five-minute videos I've been doing, posted on Facebook, been talking about the prayers in Ephesians. And the first prayer where Paul prayed that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, let me get it straight, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Amen. Knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling. Amen. We have hope today. The hope of His calling. And what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? A lot of us believe that God has power, but He said, who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Amen. And again, it's, forget what verse it is, it says, chapter 3, verse 20, I believe, now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Amen. Not out here, not up in heaven, but God, what has been deposited in us. Remember, we was talking last Sunday about how that the Holy Spirit in us possesses everything that God is. And the reason we don't receive those things in our life is because our soul does not want to yield itself, yield its power, yield the illegitimate authority that it has taken on, doesn't want to yield that to the Spirit. And so because of that, we have to yield our soul. We have to bring our soul, as Paul preached all through the New Testament, bringing our body under, keeping our flesh under. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Pulling down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And, you know, arresting and taking those thoughts captive and bringing them to God and saying, God, I don't want these thoughts. These thoughts are invading my mind. And therefore, I give them to you and ask you to arrest these thoughts. I submit them to you. Praise God. So we have a, though there's a battle that we wage a lot of times, that battle is only won by us placing our faith in the Word of God and in the power, when, like I said last Sunday, when the Holy Spirit and the Word converge in our soul and disciple our soul in a right way of thinking, that's when we begin to see victories in our life. If we don't keep with that, then we don't see the victories. I've seen so many people over the years that we've prayed for and been dramatically saved or delivered or whatever the case might be, and I've watched them just walk away from that after tremendously being touched by God, and I always wondered, why would that happen? And it's because when we receive from God, when we get a deposit from God, when there is a manifestation of God in our lives, you can't just live on that. You have to disciple, let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God disciple your mind in a proper way of thinking, or familiarity will drag you right back into the old mindset, the old way of thinking and living, and next thing you know, you're right back. How'd that happen? Because familiarity is an extremely powerful force in our life. We are creatures of habit, and what we get used to, what we allow to become habitual in our lives, is what dominates our lives. We're creatures of habit. All of us, we go through the same motions all the time. When you do things, you know, every day, when you're getting ready to leave the house, you go through pretty much the same things just about every morning, and do a lot of it the same way. We're creatures of habit, and once we get that in our hearts and our minds, we don't have to think about those things because it's automatic for us. Amen. In my tool belt at work, I've got everything arranged a certain way, and I don't have to look down to see where to reach. I know where it's all at because it's habitual. You know, it's patterns. You get patterns in your head. You get patterns in your mind, and that's how your brain thinks. Your brain thinks in patterns. You develop neurological pathways that become established, and your brain automatically goes by those neurological pathways. If you have a negative outlook on things, your brain will always, it just uses those neurological pathways all the time. The only way to change that is to practice. You got to retrain your brain. Did you know every time you don't react to the things you used to react to, you are teaching yourself, teaching your brain, and your brain starts getting it? Amen. If you used to get mad or angry at certain things and you don't allow yourself to do that anymore, every time you do that, you have just changed a little bit of the pathways in your brain. See, God can deliver us, but our soul has to be discipled. All right. Just thought I'd share that little, as we start here today, I just thought I'd share that because to get to the place where you live in truth and you respond to the truth of the Word of God, you have to establish that as your pathway of thinking. Amen. Your neurological pathway of thinking. Praise God. Amen. Woo! Glory. We're going to be looking a couple of verses that we have been reading in the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 20 through 24, in the Amplified Bible, it says, "And Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God constantly." This is out of the Amplified Bible. "Have faith in God constantly. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it." Now, that's an extremely positive statement. How many understand Jesus didn't use vague statements here? He wasn't ambivalent about what he was saying. He used very, very straight statements. "And you will receive it." Amen. It'll happen. And we look at that and we think, you know, that's confusing because I've asked for things and I've not gotten them. Well, is believing your mindset? Is trusting the Word of God confidently, is that your way of thinking? See, a lot of us try things and we try it on for a while. It's almost you know, we get the Word and we read the Word and a truth comes to us, and it's almost like the latest diet. You know, we try it for a little bit, and when we don't see miraculous results immediately, we stop. Come on, somebody. Woo! Praise God. You can't buy a treadmill and use it one time and expect tremendous results to take place. All you're going to get the first time is sore and discouraged. Amen. Very discouraging. I was telling the elders before church was praying, I said, I got totally offended the other day. I was filling out this thing, and it said height. I put that in. It said age. I put that in. Weight. I put that in. The next word come up was obese. I'm glad it was on my phone, because if the person would have been standing there, we would have had a little bit of a problem. Come on now. Yeah. That irked me, and then I thought, well, maybe I ought to look in the mirror. Yeah. Don't hear all back. I got scared. I thought an old fat man broke in my house, and I realized I'd walk by a mirror. It was a little bit unnerving. You ever see somebody that you think, man, they look old, you find out they're the same age you are? Yeah. The way that we think, the things that we look at, I like what Dee said one time. She said, I'm a 16-year-old trapped in a 60-year-old body. The way that we think, the patterns that we use, the attitude that we walk in every day is not just circumstances. It's what you've practiced. You've practiced that way of thinking. And you've accepted that as your default system. And a lot of times we will start trying to get the Word of God in our heart, and when something doesn't go right, we're kind of like a computer. We go back to our default system. We immediately go back to our default system. Well, the only way to change that is to change what your default system is. You gotta replace that. You know? You gotta change your screensaver. What you look at all the time. You gotta change the things that are in your life. It's kind of like Abraham. You know, Abraham, God told him that he was going to be, you know, he was going to prosper and he was going to have a child and all this kind of stuff. All these promises come to him, and it took a long time. But God gave Abraham visuals to help him to grab hold of this. And at one time he said, your descendants are going to be as the stars in the sky. So every time he would look up at night, he would see the promise. And then he told him that they're going to be as many as the sand of the sea or the ground. And so every time he looked down, he saw the promise. And then he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Well, the name Abraham means the father of many nations. And so from then on, every time somebody would call his name, they were reminding him of the promise. See, God knows how we think. And what he was doing was he was reprogramming Abraham's mind to be able to believe. Amen. So he was able to believe God. Can you imagine what Abraham went through when he came back from meeting with God, and he tells everybody he has no children? Sarah is not able to conceive. And he comes back from meeting with God. Now, put yourself in his place, and we'll understand how awkward we feel a lot of times today when God gives us a promise. And he comes back and he says, okay, everybody, you can't call me Abram anymore. I am now Abraham, the father of many nations. Can you imagine a lot of them going, okay. I mean, I doubt if people just immediately embrace that and said, wow. Because most people around you every day has a very negative outlook. Amen. And so instead of encouraging that, they have more of an outlook that, yeah, I doubt if that'll ever happen. You know, well, how's that worked for you up to this point? Things like that. But Abraham, he grabbed hold of that. And so God gave him things to help him focus his mind and disciple his brain to believe the things of God. And Abraham was able to receive that, but it took a while. And so we today, we look at this verse and where Jesus says to speak to your mountain and be removed, be cast in the sea. We look at that and we think, you know, that doesn't even seem feasible, doesn't even seem possible that I could actually do that. And that Jesus was speaking very, very plain, very straightforward. And again, in Matthew chapter 17, said, and he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. They asked him, why couldn't we cast out these spirits? Because of the littleness of your faith. That is your lack of firmly relying trust. What he told them is you have a lack of firmly relying trust. Firmly relying trust. What he was talking about last Sunday, where they in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, where he talks about that the word was preached to them as well as unto us, but the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, and they didn't enter into rest. Well, that rest is the rest of faith. It doesn't mean everything's going to be great in your life. It means that you're going to find rest in your spirit because you have a firmly relying trust. You're not basing it on your circumstances. You got a firmly relying trust in the fact that God has this. And God's able. He's able to do this. Amen. We see things change when we're able to grab hold of that. We see miracles happen when we're able to grab hold of that. Amen. Praise God. A lot of us try to use our faith to change other people. That's not always feasible. God can't even change them. If they're not willing, he can't even change them. Amen. But a lot of us use our faith to try. Why don't we use our faith to change us? Because we can deal with this. You might not be able to deal with that, but you can deal with this. And it is amazing how people change when we start doing that. I mean, when we change our attitude, it's amazing God changes people. Just miracles take place all around us. You know? I'm just going to let that lay. All right. Praise God. So Jesus said, because of the littleness of your faith, you couldn't cast them out. But again, he said that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be uprooted and cast over here, and it'll happen. And then he made a statement. He said, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Doesn't that sound like a fantasy? Doesn't that sound just outlandish? That nothing shall be impossible for you? Jesus was not talking from earth to heaven. He was talking heaven to earth. Jesus was talking about the realm of God, not the realm of man. In other words, he was saying, when it's my word, nothing shall be impossible for you. When it's your word, it's not going to work. When you understand that it's my word, and you have a firmly relying trust in what I have said, then it'll happen. I just got to visit with Brother Craig Rogers, just got back from Kenya, and had tremendous meetings over there. I mean, tremendous meetings this year. The last time he was over there, a couple of years ago, the Muslims tried to kill him twice. They made a run on him twice, tried to kill him, and God delivered him, and he was able to continue to minister. And then they tried to get him again on the way to the airport, and he made it out of that. I mean, it's amazing what God did. He told me, he said, I did not know that our CIA was in Kenya. And he said, they tried to get me on the way to the airport, and he said, all of a sudden, black SUVs started pulling in. And he said, our people from America saved me, delivered me in Kenya. He said, I don't know where they come from, but they showed up. And but he went back this time and thankfully didn't have any problems like that. But they had absolutely tremendous meetings. And he said at one time, he said he was ministering, and there was four demon-possessed people in front of him at one time. And he said he spoke in the name of Jesus, commanded to come out. He said all four people were delivered immediately. He said, just like that, four people at one time. He said, I've never seen anything like that happen before. And he said, it so excited me. He said, I ran out in the crowd and went after more. What happened? Faith in Jesus, faith in the Word came forth. Got a hold of it. Not his faith, but he saw Jesus, the Word of Jesus being displayed. And he had a firmly relying trust in that word and was able to receive that and see it happen. And so that firmly relying trust is something that we have to get in our heart. We have to allow God to download that into our spirit. And like I've talked about before, the revelation of the word just to come alive in us to where we just latch hold of that and say, God, that's me. That belongs to me. That's my word. That belongs to me. Amen. I've got that. This is mine. I possess this. You know, I've told you before, 6 years ago when I went through all the junk I went through, and When God delivered me, I didn't get any scriptures on healing. What God gave me over and over and over, when I was incapacitated, not able to function, I kept hearing the same word in my spirit. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I mean, over and over and over, that verse went over and over in my mind. What was the Holy Spirit trying to tell me? He was telling me that everything you need is already here. Just start worshiping. Just start praising, and you'll receive that. Praise God. We have it. It's our word. And I grabbed hold of that and just latched onto it. And every day, several times a day, that's all I could think of some days. It would just go over and over in my mind. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise God. And God delivered me. He healed me. And thank God for that. But it wasn't even a scripture about healing. You know, sometimes we think we have to, you know, have to have a specific scripture. Sometimes God wants you to set yourself free so that you can receive. Amen. It wasn't even about healing. It was about keeping my focus on blessing the Lord, praising the Lord. Psalms 103, I will bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all of our iniquity, who heals all of our diseases, who delivers our life from destruction, who crowns our head with loving kindness and tender mercies, who fills our mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. That became my mantra. And every day I would say, God, you have delivered me. Amen. You have delivered me. You have delivered me from destruction. I will not be destroyed. You have delivered me from destruction. Hallelujah. Glory. And he delivered me from all the treatments and the medications and delivered me from all that torment and torture. Amen. Hallelujah. So that my youth is renewed. It's like Brother Craig's wife here back had a tumor in her esophagus that grew, and she couldn't eat, she couldn't swallow because this tumor had grown in her esophagus and wouldn't let any food pass by. And so they looked at it, and they were sure that she had cancer. It was a cancerous tumor. And they were, on Sunday nights, they were having prayer and just worshiping and having prayer. And she just stretched out on the floor up in front of the church and just began to worship God with everything within her. And all of a sudden, she began to choke and cough. You think, well, that's not supposed to happen when you're worshiping God. She began to choke and cough, and she literally coughed that tumor up in her hand while she was worshiping. Why? Because a truth got a hold of her, and the neurological pathways started changing, and she started grabbing hold of this truth, and that truth began to raise her up and set her free. And as she worshiped and praised God with everything within her, instead of begging and pleading, oh God, you got to heal me, I've got cancer, instead she was just worshiping God with everything she had. And all of a sudden that tumor let go and come out, and they run a scope down in there again. And the doctor said, we don't know what happened, but said, we can see where it used to be attached. But there's nothing there anymore. It's okay. Why? Because I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise God. When things go wrong, don't get all down, burdened, and pressured. Just get by yourself if you have to, and just start having yourself just a worship and praising fit if you have to. I mean, just worship God with everything within you. Amen. I'm sure sometimes people pull up beside me or pass me in my little red Toyota on the way to work, and I'm sure some of them think I'm crazy, because a lot of times I have these scriptures I pray. Some of them we did today. And I've got it in print, large print. And I put it up. I hold it up there. And while I'm driving down the road, I'm praying those scriptures. And I'm making declarations over my life. And I'm making declarations over this church. And I'm making declarations over people's needs. And I'm declaring the Word of God. And a lot of times I really get into it. And I'll be driving down the road. And I'll have my hand up. And I'll be pointing. And I'm just talking with everything in me. And I've seen people go by me and they're going like this. And if I see them looking, I go, woo, glory. Come on, somebody. Why? Because there is a presence, there's a power in the truth. When you grab hold of the truth and it gets inside of you and it becomes your way of thinking. Faith is not something that you add to your life. Faith is something you become. Faith is a process, a thinking process that you repeat until you have it. I said last Sunday, a lot of times we get all upset when we pray for something and it doesn't happen. And I've had a lot of people come to me and say, you know, I don't understand. Why didn't this happen? You know, I was quoting the Word, and my response is usually the same. I guess we ain't got it yet. And usually it's, why didn't God do this? How is it that we always are able to blame God when the weakness is on earth, not in heaven? And my response is always the same. I guess we need to apply ourselves some more. We ain't got it yet. We're just not there yet. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but there's times that I get extremely frustrated because I want to see more happen. Somebody's not getting healed, and it frustrates me. But I never blame God, never take that on God. I always get frustrated here, and I say, God, help me to get this. Is that God? Why aren't you doing something? God, help me to get this. My thinking is not right yet. My ability to know the truth, my ability to focus on the truth, just isn't there yet. Hallelujah. Jesus came to a man, or in the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 10. It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What was it? This man got a hold of a truth. He realized that Jesus had authority over these things. When he came to Jesus, he didn't come hoping. He came understanding that Jesus had the ability to speak to this and it would change, because it had been put under him. He had been given authority over this situation. See, a lot of times, you know, it says that he was paralyzed and tormented. I've got a picture on my phone of a man in a village in Rwanda that was paralyzed and tormented by demons for 19 years. And I got a picture of him standing there by Augustine, and I've got him on video during the service. He was out in the middle of the people dancing. 19 years he was paralyzed and tormented by demon spirits, and he was set free. And now he's out dancing. Amen. I mean, he's out there just getting with it. 19 years he was unable to move, and all of a sudden he was healed, and now he's out there moving and dancing, no longer tormented. Why? Because there is an authority level that we have to understand. Jesus has authority over demonic powers. He has authority over this earth. He showed us all the things he has authority over. He walked on the water. He cursed a tree and it died. He spoke to different things and showed us his authority. He changed water into wine. He showed us that he had authority over the spirit, and he had authority over the physical. The only thing that Jesus never took authority over was the souls of men. When he confronted the Pharisees, he never said, I command you to change. He confronted them about their attitude. You can tell I'm passionate about this because I'm about to sing soprano here preaching. He always challenged them, but he never commanded them. Why? Because the soul has to choose. Jesus made it available to them, but he never commanded them. But when it come to demon spirits, he commanded them. When it come to natural physical things, he commanded them. When it come to sicknesses and infirmities, he commanded it. Anything to have to do with the spirit and the body, Jesus spoke in authority. But when it came to the soul, he gave an option. That's where the power's at. Your brother Daryl Friend, several years ago, pastored here at this church. And I think my ear shrunk. This thing's trying to fall off. He pastored here at the church, and I was just a young man, just new in the ministry. And I was full of more fire and courage than most people could ever think about having. And he tried to funnel that. God help him. He had to try to funnel all that. And one day he told me, he said, "Son, I'm going to tell you something." He said, "The devil won't be a problem." I looked at him kind of, because I'd always been taught that, you know, the devil's our enemy. And all. And he said, "The devil won't be a problem in your life." He said, "Because the devil is subject to the name of Jesus." He said, "I'll tell you what you're going to battle your whole life, and you'll make a choice whether it wins or not." And he said, "That's disappointment. He said, "You have to choose whether that wins or not." But he said, "As far as the devil is concerned, all you have to do is speak in the name of Jesus. He has to obey." But he said, "It's up here." He said, "If you don't respond properly to disappointment, then it'll win. And you make that choice." Isn't it amazing that Jesus never commanded the Pharisees to be quiet? Isn't it amazing he never took authority over them? But he took authority over demon spirits. And this man somehow got the revelation. Jesus has authority as an officer over a soldier. And all he has to do is speak and it has to happen. And he comes to this, to Jesus, and he says, "My servant is paralyzed and tormented." And you hear the nature of God here. "I will come and heal him." Hallelujah. If you want to know what God's attitude is, just read that in red letters. "I will come and heal him." That's God's attitude. Amen. "I want to give it to you. I want you to have it. I want to do this for you. I will come and heal him." And the man said, "Oh no, I'm not even worthy for you to come under my roof." And explained why. And he said, "Just speak a word." He said, "Your words." What he was saying was, "Your words have power to move whatever's necessary for this to happen." Jesus never even declared anything. He just said, "Go your way, your servant's healed." It's just relaxed. And the man was delivered at that same time. It was no big deal. You know, there's times that Jesus never, when the lepers came to him and said, "If thou wilt, thou can make us clean," he said, "I will." There's the voice of God again. "I will." And then he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." That statement meant that it was taken care of. He never said, "Leprosy, I command you to go." See, Jesus didn't even have to say stuff like that. He just simply said, "Now go show yourselves to the priest." And as they were going, they were healed. What were they going to? They were going to get a piece of paper. The priest had to inspect them, and he could give them a piece of paper that said that they were clean from leprosy. And then everywhere they went, because they still had the marks of leprosy on their body. I've seen it. I've prayed for people with leprosy. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. Their nose is missing, ears are missing, fingers are missing. Me and Sister Betty has prayed for people hour after hour like this. And it's a terrible thing. And as they went, Jesus was simply telling them, "Okay, now you need to go get your legal authority that says you're healed, so that when people say, 'Get away from us, you have leprosy,' you can pull out a piece of paper and say, 'No, I've got the legal document right here. I am healed. I am healed.'" See, Jesus didn't even say, "Be cleansed." He just said, "Go show yourself free." In other words, he said, "Hey, go get your piece of paper." Isn't that easy? That's amazing. Why? Because there's levels of authority. And when we begin to understand the levels of authority, we begin to get the truth, the reliance of God on our in our heart, and we begin to understand what is and is not under the authority of Jesus, then we can start walking in that with confidence. Amen. And then you can speak to your mountain. See, most mountains do not exist out here. Most of our mountains exist right here and right here. It would be a whole lot easier to speak to a mountain out here and command it to move than it is to speak to a mountain in here and command it to move. Huh? See, most of our mountains are in here. It's either a broken heart, a disappointment, a mindset that has blocked you in and stopped you from being able to live, has arrested and taken hostage of your life, and you got to speak to that thing. You got to quit accepting it as you. And you got to start looking at it as an enemy that has invaded you. We get so friendly with our obsessions, and we get so friendly with our disabilities. We get so friendly with the things that come and invade our lives, and we get used to them, and we begin to call them mine. When the pharmaceutical companies put advertisements on television, which I think is the biggest disgrace there ever was, you know, they sell you, they're telling you to go tell your doctor, I want this. Well, it ain't none of your business. You go to your doctor and find out what needs to happen. Amen. And then, on the other hand, the pharmaceutical companies are paying off the doctors to push certain prescriptions. Amen. This isn't conspiracy theory. This is truth. Talk to people that work in the medical field. There are emergency rooms where when a certain doctor comes on, they go in, the nurse will go in and change out all the prescriptions and put different prescriptions in there for him to give out, because those are the ones he's getting kickbacks on. And those are the medicines he's pushing. Oh, come on, somebody. I know you're getting all weird on me now. But when they advertise on TV, you know, they always put it as, is your... And it's always like, this belongs to you. It's there forever. This is who you are. And go and ask your doctor for this medication. But this medicine has been shown to prove bad gas mileage, poor health, death, stroke, bones crumbling, blood vessels exploding. But you need it. Go get it from your doctor. I mean, it goes that sometimes, you know, they got those fast talkers, and sometimes it goes through such a list. I'll look at that, and I'll wait, and I'll listen to all of it, and I'll, me and Sister Betty will start laughing. I say, "Woo, give me some of that." I got a rash in my body, but if I take this medicine, it might make me feel better, but I might also have sudden death. It'll cure your rash. You won't itch no more. I'm not against doctors. I know they help us. But I've got an attitude about prescription drugs, because I see it killing people. Whenever we get a truth in our heart, this man got a truth in his heart. And he said, I've got this mountain And Jesus spoke to the mountain. But he didn't speak to the mountain until the man spoke to the mountain. He said, I know who you are. See, in Luke chapter 3, Jesus was on the Mount of Temptation. 3 and 4. He went through the baptism, the Mount of Temptation. And finally, Lucifer came to him and tempted him. And Lucifer said, if you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. Challenged him. If you are the Son of God. After that, Jesus came down, went back to his old Sunday school class, and sat down and took out Isaiah and read it. For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to open the prison bars, to set the oppressed free, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your life, in your ears. You've heard it. And they tried to throw him off a cliff. Not everybody gets excited about what God's doing in your life. Some people try to throw you off a cliff because it irritates them that God's blessing you. Come on, somebody. Yeah, come on. If we don't learn to rejoice in the blessings of others, we'll never be able to get it ourselves. Amen. You got to learn to rejoice when other people are blessed. You got to be thrilled for those people, not jealous. Amen. I just threw that in. That was just free. I threw that in there. Amen. But then he went to another synagogue. Later on, he went to another synagogue and began to preach. And a man that had an unclean spirit rose up and said, what are you doing here? Have you come to torment us before our time? And then he says, I know who you are. See, word had already spread throughout the satanic demonic kingdom that the Messiah is now on earth. And he has authority over us. He put down the boss. He whipped old Lucifer right on the mountaintop, and he's here. Woo! He has showed up. And he showed up in this synagogue where this unclean spirit had been dominating, controlling through not going to go there. Okay. Praise God. Toxic, highly manipulative narcissism. And I just wanted to sum everything up real fast. And this spirit says, we know who you are. We know who you are. And see, then this man shows up. The demonic realm announced it. And then this man shows up, the centurion shows up and says, I know who you are. You have authority over these things. And just speak a word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus just simply said, go your way. And his servant was healed at that very moment. Now, like I said, a lot of times these mountains are inside of us. And that's where we pray it in our declaration every Sunday morning. I put the amplified version of that verse up there so that we would pray the whole thing. The definitions and everything. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news. Now, I didn't put the Amplified up there. I did that on 2 Corinthians, sorry. This is the Amplified version of this verse. To preach the gospel, the good news, to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives. He has sent me to announce release to the captives. How many people are living in a captive state? to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed. Now listen, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed. And this is a definition of the word oppressed. Who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. How many understand that those are the mountains that are the hardest for us to deal with? It's not out here. It's in here. And yet the word says that Jesus was anointed to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden. How many there have been downtrodden? Bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. How many's ever had just calamity after calamity after calamity in your life? And it just wears you down, doesn't it? Broken down by calamity. Amen. I just got to be honest with you. This world will always try to take away from you. People will let you down. Amen. Praise God. I see people putting posts on Facebook all the time about people letting them down. And it's like they're shocked. And I'm on the other hand going, well, yeah. And let's look at your record. How many people you've let down? Matter of fact, by posting that, you're letting people down right now. Especially if you're a child of God, you should be putting on there something that declares the word. Come on, somebody. Oh, I'm preaching good now. I'm getting right in the middle of your social media. Woo, that's right. I've been trolling your Facebook page. Got all these new words. Trolling. I learned that the other day. Trolling. I even found out that there's a new this new deal where your Facebook page gets taken by ransom, held for ransom. How can it's this new thing where they take possession of your Facebook page and you have to pay them to get it released. Taking your ransom. I talked to a man the other day that had been taken ransom. They demand a certain amount of money. Who would pay it? Be delivered now in the name of Jesus. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, they take possession of it. They won't let you have it. They won't let you, you know, they hold it for ransom. I actually can live without it. Come on, somebody. Woo! We're getting delivered now. We're speaking to the mountain. Downtrodden, crushed, broken down by calamity. How many people live in that state? Broken down by calamity. Things happen in your life that hurt you, that bruise you, that tear you down. And if you're not careful, it becomes your image. It becomes the thing you live by. I am downtrodden. I have been bruised. And we carry that bruise with us the rest of our lives, that I was done wrong, I was bruised. No, you were bruised, but Jesus has come to release and to set free and to set you free as delivered from oppression. You don't have to live there anymore. You can speak to that mountain. Start speaking to that mountain. Come on, start speaking to that mountain. They're saying, no, you're not going to hold me captive. You're not going to hold me down. Disappointment will not reign in my life. See, disappointment has this power to make you do more wrong to your life than what originally happened. When you allow disappointment to take control of your life, you destroy your life. Not what happened to you, you destroy it. You start making decisions based on your disappointment, and you start acting out because of your disappointment, and you start giving yourself authority to be disappointed and angry, and you start spreading that, and you start destroying all the relationships in your life. You start destroying everything that's good in your life. And one thing happened. One person did something that set that in motion, and you took possession of it, and it became your title. Cast off the title. Say no. Peel it off your forehead and say, you will not rule over my life. I speak to you and command you to go in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you don't start learning to talk to yourself in the right way, you're never going to change your thinking. Have you ever been going through the day and somebody just really irritates you, and you find yourself every few minutes thinking about that? Am I the only person here? And you say, I ain't going to think about that. And you go back about your business. Next thing you know, you're right back there. You're thinking about like what you'd like to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'd do this and I'd do that, and yeah, boy, woo! You just get yourself all worked up, you know. What's happening? You have been taken hostage. You're in a hostage situation because your brain has been taken over, and it's up to you to decide to be delivered. You know how I've learned to deal with that? I used to battle that all the time. In the name of Jesus, I will not think those thoughts. I cast down those thoughts. I still do that. I will not, anything that lifts itself against the knowledge of God, I will not meditate on it. I will not think about these things, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things holy, and I would really like to tell him something. How many's with me? You know, you can be quoting a word, next thing you know, you're right back on it. And you're quoting a word to this person. And you go to bed with them, and you get up with them, and you eat supper with them, and you go on vacation with them, and they live rent-free in your head, and they dominate you and take. And you have to decide, am I going to live like this? Let me give you a real powerful thing that helps you to get free from that. Woo! That was it. You just got delivered. I've learned to laugh at myself. I do. There's times I'll be at work and something like that will get on my mind and start dominating my mind. And pretty soon I just start laughing. Like, whoa, boy, you're tearing them up today, ain't you, buddy? Get them. It totally changes your mindset. Make fun of yourself. Amen. If you learn to laugh at yourself, you will never be without comedy relief. You will always have something to laugh about. Amen. Praise God. Don't take yourself so serious. You got to speak to that mountain. You're not going to dominate me. You're not going to stand before me. You're not going to rule my life. Heartache is a terrible thing. When you have heartache, when you've been done wrong by somebody, or when somebody dies, or when all these things, it's traumatic. There's no way around that. You can't just pass over that. People say, well, get over it. No, you never get over it. It's part of your life, but you have to take its power away. You have to stop it from ruling you, dominating you. Amen. When you lose some, I mean, when people die, I've watched people die that I love and care about for years now. You don't walk with people and pastor people and walk with them in their life and help them, and you get attached to them. I have this really bad habit of just getting attached to people. You know, I can't just be around people. I start getting attached to them. And then something happened, all of a sudden they're gone. You don't just get over that. You know, as a pastor for 30, I've been preaching for 37 years. And as a pastor for almost 30 years, I have watched so many people walk away and leave. And that is traumatic. You can say what you want to and say, well, it doesn't matter, you know, and keep the faith and all that, but it is traumatic. It hurts. And it never goes away. Every person I've ever ministered to, I still hold them in my heart. They're still there. But I refuse to let them have power over me. They're not going to dictate the rest of my life. They're not going to dictate how I respond to the next person. They're not going to dictate how I love people. I'm not going to give them that power. Amen. I've got a poem that I wrote several years ago that I give to other pastors a lot of times. And it's this: when people leave, we have to let them go, because the truth of their departure we may never know. But if in our heart we retain spite, our relationship with God will never be right. So hold loosely the people that you pastor, because one day we'll all stand before the same master. When we learn to stop letting this world and people rule us and dictate how we respond tomorrow, we will start becoming free. Amen. A disappointment yesterday, I will not allow that to determine my relationships tomorrow. Praise God. Amen. This is good. I'm talking straight to some situations. This is good. I will not allow that to dictate over my life. I will not allow that to control me. I will invest myself as much in the next person as I did that person, regardless of what that person did. You say, but they might take something from me. What can they take from you? You receive your fullness from God. They cannot take God from you. They cannot take your fullness from you, because you receive that from God. It's this way, not this way. And so if I'm receiving my fullness from God, what was stolen yesterday has been replaced, and I'm fully replenished for tomorrow. Hallelujah. Praise God. One of the greatest truths that you can learn when you have been devastated by things and by people, one of the greatest truths that you can learn is to realize that God is your completeness. God has completed me. In Colossians it says, for he is the God, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. I am complete in him. Praise God. So one of the greatest truths that we can learn is that we don't have to be afraid. You no longer have to be afraid of people. When God is your fulfillment, you no longer have to be afraid of what man can do to me, what they can take away from me. Amen. I've experienced everything. I hope I've experienced everything that you can imagine. I'm hoping there's not more. Yep, you know what I'm talking about. I'm hoping that's all behind. After 30-some years, surely. But we have to speak to the mountains in our mind and our heart and refuse to let them dominate me. Stand with me if you would. He has released to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, who are bruised, who are crushed, who are broken down by calamity. Jesus has been given the authority and the anointing to heal that and to deliver that. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing.